Welcome back, everyone, to another episode. Another week, another episode. Still another week of no F1. I know I literally say that every single
week. Come on, be a bit more positive. Okay, there's no F1 at the moment.
You know what's going to really jar me out?
Yeah.
Is you see how that guitar is not sitting like straight to the wall?
Yeah.
Do you see what? Can you just turn it a bit?
No, because if it's...
I'm going to have to stand up and do it otherwise. Yeah. Perfect.
Okay, sorted.
Good. Anyone else get bugged by like random things that like you just can't stop thinking of? Anyway, welcome back to Racecast. It is a brand new week for you guys. It is a rainy Sunday evening for us here in Great Britain. Why is it called Great Britain? It's not very great.
Wow, if you're coming here for motivation, starting your week right, this is a place to go.
It should be called like All Right Britain. You know what I mean? It's fine. Like it's cool here sometimes. But anyway, if you're new here, please subscribe. If you're watching us on YouTube.
All right, Britain.
Yeah. Like, comment. Please do comment. The comments are the most important thing. And I know we've had a bit of an argument with Colapinto's fans over in Argentina. But I feel like we resolved it last episode. I imagine we're going to touch on some of those. But
we're moving on.
Oh, okay. We're over it now. Anyway, we squashed it. Let's shake hands. If you're listening to us on, I was going to say TikTok, but you won't be listening to us on TikTok, not if you've got any sense. You'll be listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any other audio platform, but it's likely going to be one of those two. Give us a 5-star rating. It makes a big difference. If you can leave a review, do. Make sure it's positive. If it's negative, don't fucking bother. I think that's pretty much everything. Welcome along, everyone who is new. We're gaining, right? We've got, let's be honest here with everyone. We are... increasing audio numbers. We are seemingly increasing. We've probably got now more YouTube viewers than we ever did have before, like consistently, I would say.
Yeah. I think the last few episodes have been good, yeah.
So keep it up. We promise to keep it up. We also look to make things a little bit more exciting, I changed the colour of the lights behind us so it's fresh for your eyes. So we always have you in mind. But I imagine there is a lot to talk about. Obviously, one thing that we haven't touched on, because it didn't happen when we filmed last week, Lewis Hamilton's big reveal at Ferrari. But there is more than just the Lewis talk, so don't worry. I know a lot of you hate it when... which we never do, by the way. We never do just talk about Lewis, but...
welcome to Lewis Cast.
But I know a lot of you get angry when it's maybe too focused around Lewis, but don't worry, that is not going to happen. But we are going to talk about it because... look, come on, whether you're a Lewis fan or not, the whole thing was pretty cool, right?
I can tell you, for if you're listening, there's only two Lewis Hamilton stories.
There you
go.
That's, why don't you, in a minute...
and there's only three stories.
What you're going to do is you're going to give them a little preview of what's coming up. You're going to say, right, coming up on today's show is... but not yet.
Okay.
Because before you do that, you want to make sure also that you follow us on social media. You're going to want to search Racecast into Instagram and TikTok. You can on Twitter, but we just don't use it. It's not really our thing, but you can follow us on Twitter, why not? But TikTok and Instagram, that is where we do the most work. So, yeah, anyway, we're going to crack on now.
Okay, so coming up on today's episode, we're going to be talking all things Ferrari, Lewis Hamilton in red last week. We'll also be talking about Johnny Herbert. He's in the news this week, talking about Liam Lawson. George Russell, good discussion coming up about him. Haas announced something exciting last week, so we'll be talking about that. Martin Brundle, also giving his thoughts on Lewis Hamilton and his move to Ferrari. Helmut Marko back in the news, so we'll be, of course, be talking about that.
Is he out of the news? That
no,
guy?
But we'll be talking about him. FIA, new rules. I know you touched on it on the video, but we'll quickly touch on that.
Can I just add, potentially the worst rule in any sport ever.
Mm. Yep, we'll get onto that. Yeah. We'll be looking at reserve drivers for 2025. I've got a hypothetical question for you as well. And
for you guys at home.
And for you guys at home. We've got fan questions, and I've also got a little quiz for you.
And one thing that you haven't mentioned in there that I've actually brought to the show today, which we can actually start with.
Okay.
Because it links to...
well, hang on, can you rate me on that? Was that all right? Because you did throw me on the spot there, bringing, you know...
that was a solid 4 out of 59.
If you guys want that to be a segment each week of me discussing what the news is coming up on the show...
well, it might be good because...
get a little jingle.
It helps them to know whether they should click off quicker or not.
All right, if you like it, do comment below.
But this opening topic, I assume, is going to be Lewis at Ferrari.
It is, yeah.
So...
may I just say, iconic.
Oh my God, like how sick were all those photos? I'm sorry. But they were...
You always knew Lewis Hamilton was classy, but those photos were They were hard.
It was weird because it's almost like they are meant to be. Mm. That Ferrari, you know, look, right, Ferrari is Ferrari. It's...
Well done.
No, but do you know what I mean? Like, I don't mean it, like they are Ferrari, but they are Ferrari. Do you know what I mean? It's like if you talk about a car, let's say you talk about being rich and have a car, you've got a Ferrari.
Yeah.
You know, but there are other ones out there, McLaren, Lamborghini, Aston, Ferrari, right? And it's the pinnacle of motorsport as well, but it's the class and the elegance of the brand, right? And then you just slot Lewis Hamilton in there. Oh, it's like the perfect fit. Mm. So all these pictures that were coming out were just unbelievable. Whoops.
Knock over your bottle of water.
It's also not what I needed. What I need is right here. It's my phone.
Yeah.
Sick.
That is sick.
All right, I'm going to show you the camera right now. That is my lock screen. There you go. Is that going to focus? There we go. So if you're listening, it's basically a picture of Lewis getting into the Ferrari with that yellow helmet, by the way. The yellow is back.
Let's talk about that, shall we? Obviously,
the yellow helmet.
If you don't know, Lewis Hamilton joined Ferrari. If you didn't know that, where have you been? But he revealed his helmet for the 2025 season, and it is yellow, and it is beautiful.
For me, it's
iconic. Yellow for when his first season in McLaren, yellow for his first season in Mercedes, and yellow for his first season in Ferrari.
And obviously, he was yellow all his career, as in like prior to switching later at Mercedes.
I did like the purple, just saying.
I liked the purple, but you know, that maybe it's also the colour combination, because I think we did have a discussion about what helmet is he going to bring, right? I hated personally that luminous yellow colour that he had last year. Just not my cup of tea. I thought it was despicable, but that's fine. He liked it. This yellow, it could not be any more perfect.
No.
And I know what you're going to say. Stop glazing him, right? And you're right. But it is sick. I can't help it. If it looks sick, everything about it is just the red.
I think it goes very well with the red. Well, and obviously, I think that makes it.
Obviously, the Ferrari badge is actually yellow.
Yellow, yeah.
So, no, I don't know. It was perfect. It was sick. And everything about the launch, like the way all the social media was handled, perfect.
Ferrari admin absolutely smashed this whole... They've smashed everything, haven't they? They're just simple, you know, photos of, you know, the...
Well, the seven windows and the one door.
Yeah.
That's symbolic.
Yeah. But, you know, Ferrari admin, fair play to you. You've done a fantastic job. But I think all, like you say, with the whole launch, and I don't think they could have got it much better. I think
the only thing we're waiting for is a picture of Lewis and Charles together.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure they know that. Like, you know, the fact that they're kind of drip feeding these little gems to us is great. And by the time this podcast has come out, inevitably, now that I've said it, there's going to be a picture of them. So it will probably come out in about 10 minutes.
Also, I love the video, you know, of him in the garage, you know, getting ready, putting his helmet on.
Yep.
Angela Cullen back in the garage.
Yeah, so obviously we discussed that last week.
Typically, when we discussed it, it got announced when we released the clip as well.
Yeah, but fans are very happy about it.
Mm. You're not so bothered either way.
I'm just not bothered. Whoever he needs around him, great. Like, he could not care who he's got around him. I just want him to win, and I want him to succeed. So if for him it was best to not have anyone around, fine. So, you know, I'm not one of these people are probably thinking, oh, she's back in the scene, that's going to make such a big difference. Like, no. Like, it's not. It's probably just to help him settle in and whatnot. And obviously, there's actually a lot of rumours coming out about that, of like, what the hell happened at Mercedes? You know, was she forced out by, you know, the higher powers? I'm not sure you can get too much higher than Lewis Hamilton. But obviously, he did have bosses at Mercedes. But I don't know. We're not here for speculation anyway. It's a new era now. And I think, you know, it's all worth it just for those pictures. Like, it's kind of like, it's fine now. But I was reading that apparently they are already taking on board his feedback from the car.
Yeah. Which I did think was a bit of a stupid statement, because I've seen a post saying, you know, Ferrari are listening to Lewis Hamilton on his some of his pointers to help with the car. Yeah, no shit.
Well, yeah,
isn't that the whole point of view?
You would expect them to.
Lewis comes in. I think we should do it. No, not listening to right. you, Lewis.
Why don't you right. zip it, newbie? Yeah.
You think you won championships? Yeah. You're coming to the big team now, okay? Well, how many championships you want? Not in a while, but don't worry about
that. They
were
obviously going to listen to him.
Yeah.
But, of course, this wasn't an actual testing session.
No.
You know, this was just...
It was a 2022 car, wasn't it?
Is that what it was?
I believe it was. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it was a 2022 car, because I've got it here. So obviously, alongside testing with the SF23, Hamilton will test a 23 car.
Mm-hmm.
He will be testing a 24 car for the Pirelli test on February the 4th and the 6th.
Yeah, so that will be an actual test, right? Yeah. This was just Lewis sort of familiarizing himself with everything,
yeah.
getting set up.
Getting in front of the Tifosi, the scenes as well, you know.
You know,
Ferrari fans are elite. Yeah, and they're a different level.
No, but this is what I say, right? Ferrari are the only team in the sport, generally, right, that you can largely say this about, that have dedicated fans. That they're kind of like a football team, where you don't just pick up and leave football teams, do you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, well, Steven Gerrard has left Liverpool now, I'm going to go support LA Galaxy. But you support a team, and that's kind of how it is with Ferrari. And I feel like you don't really have that at other teams, not in the same sense that you do at Ferrari. Like, the Ferrari fans are diehard Ferrari fans. People come and go, that's fine. They stick with Ferrari. You know, for the last however many years, we've been Mercedes fans.
It's interesting.
Not anymore.
It's interesting because I've seen a lot on social media when we've posted clips in the past about this. Obviously, you know, we're Lewis Hamilton fans, and we've openly said that actually we're going to Ferrari. You know, we are Ferrari. We're Lewis fans, but we're also now Ferrari fans.
This has got me thinking. I'm curious to know, actually, is there anyone out there that actually does support driver and team? As in, let's say there's a Lewis fan who is also a diehard Mercedes fan. So now they support Lewis at Ferrari, but they want the Mercedes to do well as well. Like, would they rather Mercedes win Constructors, but Lewis wins World Championship? I don't know. If you exist, comment down below or DM us.
Because I've seen, you know, fans have said, well, no, you should be really supporting the team. And I disagree. I support a team. But with regards to F1, I've always followed Lewis. There's people who always follow, for example, Daniel Ricciardo. He's been at Red Bull. They followed him to Renault. They followed him to McLaren. You know, I think F1's a bit different. Yes, you can support a team if you like, but I don't think it's necessarily compulsory that you have to. If you're going to be an F1 fan, you have to support a team. You can follow a driver.
Because it's so personality-driven. It's not like what you say, like football or rugby or, you know, other... I'm going to call them actual team sports, because F1, as much as we like to sometimes say it's a team sport, and don't get me wrong, it takes a team in order to achieve these things, right? But you don't actually really think of it as a team sport, because the drivers are all individuals that are out to win for themselves, right? A team sport... it's where a team is working as a collective to... And I know this is where you're going to say, oh, but there's hundreds of people working... I know. But, when I'm talking about the fan side of things, as in, us, you know, you're not fans of the engineers, you're not... I'm not saying, we don't respect what they do, but, you're drawn to the person...
Well, we do love what Barry does at LP.
Yeah, okay? Do you know what I mean? It's not in that way, and you always appreciate the work, but you support the driver.
Yeah.
Whereas it's different in, say, a proper team sport where you support the club. So that's kind of my take on it. It is different.
Mm. No, I agree. Do let us know what your thoughts on that. And again, if you support a driver... who do you support? If you support a team, who do you support?
Let's Obviously, me. I said that I have a bit of news to...
Oh, yes, sorry.
Have you seen what Carlos Sr.? Carlos? Carlos Sainz Sr. That could be any just Carlos in the world. Carlos Sainz Sr. has come out and said?
No.
So he said...
Is he bitter? That the fact his son's left Ferrari and...
I don't know, right? I don't want to go and start throwing accusations towards an elderly man who...
Makes a change. Are you feeling all right?
I never normally abuse elders, unless they're called Helmut Marko.
Or me.
You are quite old, actually. He said, if I could find it... Right then. Oh, I bookmarked it. Fucking hell. Sorry, one day I will learn to speak. Okay. Carlos Sainz Sr. has come out and said it was Hamilton who initiated contact with Ferrari. Essentially, that is literally the statement. I think what that's insinuating, or attempting to insinuate, is that Ferrari didn't go out looking for Lewis. You know, Lewis came knocking, and then that's why. And I think the reason people are like, oh, it sounds bitter, is because it's like he's trying to make it sound like Lewis went crawling to Ferrari.
Yeah.
But... interestingly, you know, a lot of the stuff that we have heard is that, you know, John Elkann was talking about getting Lewis for years. And this is a quote retweet, something that Lawrence Barreto said, basically that they've been keeping track of the Mercedes situation since 2003, and apparently made an offer during the Monaco race weekend back then. So... I always...
2003?
2023, sorry.
I was going to say.
So I think is it not like common knowledge that Ferrari did... I'm not saying Lewis didn't... agents, right? Lewis will have an agent. He'll have a team. Agents will always sprinkle things around. You know...
Do you know what makes it very clear for me, okay? So Carlos Sainz Sr., fine. He can come out and he can keep saying what he wants. And it must hurt because his son didn't deserve to lose a seat at Ferrari.
Yeah.
Get that. Granted, we've discussed that before. However, whether Lewis Hamilton's team insinuated, you know, started the negotiations or the talks or whatever is irrelevant. What you see here is Ferrari did whatever they could to get Lewis Hamilton at Ferrari. They offered him whatever he needed to go to Ferrari. And if that doesn't show you that a team wants a driver, it doesn't matter who initiated anything. Both those parties wanted to come together. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. No, and you're exactly right. Like, it literally makes no difference because the fact of the matter is that they still wanted Lewis over Carlos.
Yeah.
Anyway, and...
You know, can you imagine Nikita Mazepin going and saying, look, I want to come to Ferrari, and then going, no thanks. You know, Lewis Hamilton, they could have turned him down. So it's both parties here.
Takes two to tango. Yeah. And, you know, how many times have we said how harsh it is on Carlos Sainz? But
granted, I have to say, Carlos Sainz has handled this situation very well. Right from the beginning, he has been very professional, very composed, and... You have to praise him for that, you know, because some people wouldn't. Some people would come out and, you know, constantly give digs here, there and everywhere. But he's been professional throughout this time.
I'd be sly about it.
Yeah, well, yeah. But, you know, fair play to Carlos Sainz because, like we said before, he didn't deserve to lose that seat. He was doing well at Ferrari. And it was simply the fact that actually it was Lewis Hamilton. Any other driver, I don't think Ferrari would have taken that.
Max.
Well, maybe Max. But, you know...
I think Max is the only other driver.
He's the only other driver.
They would have...
But I think, you know, Carlos Sainz handled this situation beautifully. And it's a shame that Carlos Sainz Sr. keeps coming out with these quotes. And I don't know what he's trying to achieve out of it.
Wait, it sounds like he's more bitter than Carlos.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's, it's just a bit strange. And especially when it has been, like, quite widely publicly documented. Mm. The sort of how this all came to fruition anyway. So
they both wanted to Ferrari and Lewis Hamilton.
They were a match made in heaven.
They were a match made in heaven.
They got struck by Cupid's bow.
They did.
No arrow. He used his bow to fire the arrow. Anyway.
Right, and just finishing off on the Ferrari topic, I have to say the whole Ferrari launch last week was really well done. Like,
haven't we already said that?
No, I'm just finishing off. Okay.
Should we just have that conversation again?
Yeah. So, what was your thoughts on the yellow
what
helmet?
What are we talking about next?
Right. So, Johnny Herbert, our mate Johnny Herbert. He's not our mate. We've never met him.
He's not our mate.
He's been in the news, and he said, "I don't think Liam Lawson has proven himself 100% worthy of the Red Bull seat." He's gone on to say, "Because in my old ways, it's always about how you do against your teammates. And in his team, in his time at RB, he didn't blow away Yuki Tsunoda." Look, we brought this up on the podcast many times.
We do not disagree, Jonathan.
No, that we felt Yuki Tsunoda deserved that Red Bull seat. However, we are where we are. Liam Lawson, he didn't do bad at RB. No. He's still very young in his career, and
I would say generally him and Yuki looked at a similar level.
Yeah.
And you know, that is probably more of a compliment to Liam Lawson than it is to Tsunoda, because, and don't get me wrong, I know what the stats are, so don't start commenting pointless stuff trying to educate me. I know that Yuki Tsunoda, you know, I won't say blitzed him, but, you know, beat him in the head-to-head stats. But what I'm saying is they didn't look like two drivers that were like golfs apart in ability. But Yuki Tsunoda has been in the sport for much longer. He's been in since 2021 now. Yeah. So Liam Lawson has just come into the sport. And he potentially, or almost definitely, has a higher ceiling. And I think we discussed the whole Liam Lawson thing a few weeks back, where that was kind of part of it as well. The fact that he's come in, if he has just come in and he's almost matching Yuki, that's going to make you think in a year or two, it's very likely he'll be outperforming him.
Yeah. And, you know, it's easy for us to say sitting on the sofa, you know, we prefer Yuki. But obviously, Red Bull has seen the data. They believe he is fast. They believe, as you said, he is a further progression in him than maybe Yuki Tsunoda and other drivers. So, yeah, look, was it harsh on Yuki? Yes, we can sit here and say that. However, Liam Lawson, he's done well since his two stints at RB. He's come in, he's been consistent. This year is going to be really interesting to see whether he was the right choice.
But if you're Yuki Tsunoda, I mean, I would be going mad. Hmm. I'd be losing my shit. But at the end of the day, it is the sport. And I think, despite the fact we sat here and said it is harsh on Yuki and Yuki should have got that seat, when you said, because Christian Horner came out and spoke about it all, didn't he? And he actually did speak very logically about the whole thing, and I understood the decision from that point on. I understood it. Is it the one that necessarily I would have made? No, but I would generally trust Christian Horner's opinion over myself when it comes to something like
this. Oh, really? You're not an expert?
I think he's a little bit more qualified.
Yeah, just
sometimes. I mean, sometimes he comes out with some absolute shit, but
unless he's sending text messages, right? So
then he's coming out with gold, solid gold,
right? George Russell, right? Everyone, sit down for this one because this one's a cracker. So, George Russell believes he could challenge Max Verstappen for a championship in equal machinery.
It's a bold statement, but I will say this. He's an elite athlete. What do you expect him to say?
No.
Do you expect him to come out and say, nah, he'd batter me? You'd be like, sorry, what? Repeat that? Like, no, he'd fuck me up completely. Like, mate, at least pretend that you could win. Do you know what I mean? So, like, he does have to come out and say this. Whether he truly believes it or not, I don't know. But I feel like, to some extent, you've got to have that confidence in order to ever be able to reach the top. I'm not going to sit here and say that I think George Russell is as good as Max Verstappen, but, because he's not, by the way, Max Verstappen would beat him, right?
100%.
And I would bet this property of mine on that, right? It wouldn't be a demolition. I think it would probably be similar to like a Lewis Nico situation.
No. Don't go down this route. If George Russell was going head to head with Max Verstappen, it would be easy for Max Verstappen. Because George Russell, granted, he's had some very good races. He's done some brilliant races, some great race wins. But when it comes to it, and he's going up against Max Verstappen, he would not handle that pressure.
Yeah, but what's...
Even in equal machinery.
What did Nico do?
Okay, Nico, right, I would say, is a better driver than George Russell.
Yeah, but I think Nico's had... He had, obviously, a lot longer to prove that. And he obviously got to race in a car that was capable of winning championships. George Russell hasn't had that. What he has done is perform very well head-to-head against Lewis Hamilton, who had been at Mercedes for, well, by the time he left, 10 years, had won 6 world championships there, had won 8 constructors' titles there, and George came in and gave him a really tough time. And granted, it was in this new era of cars. We don't quite know whether they suit Lewis or whatever, but it's irrelevant because George had the weight of the world on his shoulders coming into that, and he actually handled it very well. Granted, there have been some times where George has folded under pressure, right? And that is something that Max just doesn't have in that sense. He crumbles in other ways sometimes. You know, when he tries to, like, crash into people. Triggered. But when it comes to winning a race, you know, if he's not going wheel-to-wheel with someone, he's ice cold, right? And he won't make a mistake. Even when he does make a mistake, he'll manage to, like, perfectly pirouette the car and then just carry on driving. But George Russell would not make it easy for Max Verstappen to win a championship in the same car. That's all I'm saying. And please, please, do not get it twisted. I'm not saying that George Russell is as good or better than Max Verstappen. Max Verstappen is a generational driver, right?
Max Verstappen would win comfortably. Comfortably. It'd be easy for him.
So that means you think... I just don't see how, because you would probably say the same about Lewis and George then, would you not? If they were both in a championship winning car, do you think Lewis would win comfortably?
No,
because Lewis didn't win comfortably against Nico.
Oh, in 2000? No, he didn't.
Well, and then in 2000,
but you're talking about Nico Rosberg and George Russell.
He didn't win it.
Nico Rosberg and George Russell are not on the same level.
But you're looking at them, but I'm also looking at the fact, well, this is Lewis Hamilton, the driver that we refer to as the greatest driver of all time. The driver that the history books will refer to as the greatest driver of all time until someone breaks his records.
Lewis Hamilton against George Russell, they were an equal.
And he did very well.
Okay.
If Lewis and George were going for a title, right?
This isn't Lewis Cast, we're talking about Max and George.
No, but I'm using this as like the benchmark because George Russell has quite literally been teammates with a 7-time world champion. And he performed very well. Max Verstappen would 159,000,000,000% win the championship out of the two of them. But I'm just saying, it's likely that would only happen 9 out of 10 times. Because I think George Russell is capable of racing him to a very high level. And we've seen that. Lewis is a much better driver than Nico Rosberg, right?
Yes.
Nico Rosberg beat him to a world championship Nico Rosberg was a very good driver and George Russell is a very good driver. I think that's a fair point.
Do let us know. Right, let's move on, shall we? But Max Verstappen would wipe the floor with George Russell.
No, he wouldn't wipe.
He would wipe the floor with George Russell.
Max Verstappen would win.
Cheers, Jeff.
But that's not. That doesn't mean he wipes the floor with him.
He would wipe. He George.
Do you think George would do better or worse than Checo this season?
Well, okay, you can't do much worse. If they're in equal machinery, he would do much better. But he still wouldn't. He wouldn't be close to Max.
I mean, George is in the Red Bull in this scenario, right?
Yeah. Okay, Max. If Max would pick up, George would pick up those P2s. But what I'm talking about.
So he would George win any races?
No.
Max beats him in every race.
Yeah. Max may have, like, you know, a little collision with Lando or something.
Any sensible F1...
No, George would win a race.
Where does George finish in the championship?
P2.
So this season, if George was in a Red Bull...
P3, P4?
No, I'm not having that.
What, so you think he would be... George would beat Lando and Piastri? Leclerc.
Leclerc, yes.
Lando?
I think it would have been a three-way battle for a lot of
So me saying George P3 or P4...
No, but P4 is when I said, no, I'm not having that.
Okay.
There's no way, if George was in a Red Bull this season, that he doesn't finish ahead of Charles Leclerc.
I think the reason why it was Max Verstappen who took that Red Bull to the next level this year, 2024, okay? I don't think George would have finished P3, P4. I still think maybe Leclerc would have finished ahead of him.
So would George have won any races?
Well, this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Perez didn't.
No. But, you know... I think George maybe won the first half of the year.
You've got to remember that Lando would have been racing George also. You know, Lando should have been racing Perez. Mm. That Red Bull wasn't awful until the last part of the season. And we have praised Max's driving. Like, he did drive the wheels off that thing. But I think it's unfair to say George would have finished behind Charles Leclerc.
I don't think that's that harsh.
Nuts.
I don't think it's that harsh. Right. Do let us know. Would George Russell win a championship ahead of Max Verstappen and equal machinery?
No, I'm not having that because that that is not what I was just saying.
Well, my question was...
But I said...
You Max, can't just turn up and make up what you want.
No, but Max would win the championship. I'm just saying he wouldn't...
Luke thinks actually George would win.
He wouldn't dust him.
Okay.
The same way in which Lewis didn't wipe the floor with Nico Rosberg.
All right, ask me this then, okay? Answer me this. 2021, right? Lewis versus Max. You replace Lewis with George Russell.
Too young. He wouldn't have done it then.
Okay.
So George Russell now?
Say George Russell of now, right? Yep. In that season, in 2021, against Max Verstappen.
Yeah.
Would it have gone to the final race of the season?
No. What? Okay, so if Max wins the title with three races to go, has he wiped the floor with everyone?
No, but what I'm saying... Okay, how comfortable would Max have won that?
Still not comfortably. It still would have been a battle. I just reckon he probably would have wrapped it up with three races to go.
I don't think George has the...
I don't think George would have done what Lewis did in Saudi Arabia. Like, I don't think he would have been able to avoid and deal with all of that going on. I don't think George would have done what Lewis did in Brazil because that was, you know, a drive from out of this world.
I still stand by it. I can't see George Russell ever winning the world championship. I can't see it. Unless Max and Lewis and Leclerc leave the sport.
Well, Lewis will leave the sport.
Yeah.
Because he's 40 years old now. I would just never say never. At this point in time, I would not sit here and say George Russell is absolutely going to be a world champion. But I wouldn't say it's impossible.
Do let us know. Will George Russell become a world champion? Right, Haas have appointed Laura Müller as Ocon's race engineer for 2025. She becomes the first female race engineer in F1 history. Impressive.
Nice. Impressive. That is cool.
And, it's kind of touching on what we spoke about, you know, obviously the presenters, the female presenters coming through. A lot of people commented on our clip last time about Bernie Collins. Mm-hmm. Some people didn't necessarily agree with Naomi Schiff.
Did someone call us sexist?
Yeah.
So we're saying how much we love Bernie Collins, like, because she's just really good and, like, very knowledgeable. And someone called us sexist for it, which... Kind of the opposite of sexist.
But obviously, it's great, isn't it? Because we're getting more females into the sport now, at, you know, the the top. You know, for Laura Müller coming in to work alongside Esteban Ocon, really exciting chapter for Haas. You know, Haas are moving in the right direction. So it's great. I'm excited about it. So good luck to Laura. Good luck to Ocon. Obviously, Ocon's first season with Haas. So it's going to be interesting to see how they get on there. But we've got some really good females come in through the sport. As we said, the presenters, people coming into, you know, as an race engineers and stuff.
I think it's more just, you know, all these, and this isn't just F1. This is, it's not even just sport. This is just everywhere. You know, typically, like, jobs, or let's say good jobs, have primarily been reserved for men. That's just how society was. And that's changing, and obviously that's a slow change because also you've got people, a lot of people that are high up in places, still kind of old, stuck in their ways, think a certain way. So that's why it's slow. But yeah, the more and more you see it, like, it's great. I mean, and let's not like skew it here. Like, the reason she's got to this position is because she's good, not because she's a woman. Like, she's there because she deserves it.
Oh, 100%.
So it's nice to see.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, I think it'll probably be, I think it'll be an interesting thing to see.
No, I'm excited to see it. Right, Helmut Marko believes that Max Verstappen would beat Lewis Hamilton even if Red Bull gave him a mediocre car. He says he believes Hamilton still has a speed, but doubt it over a season and would still put his money on Max even if Ferrari had a good car. I would disagree with that. What are you doing?
I'm just messing around with it.
Oh, good, good. It's not like we're doing a podcast, is it?
Yeah, I think that's a load of bollocks. But he does blow so much smoke up Max's arse. And Max is really good, right? But, like, we also can't be unrealistic about the necessity of a good car. So if Lewis was in that McLaren last season, I'm sorry, he wins the championship. So it's plain and simple. Like, you can comment down below, I won't read it, because if you say I'm wrong, you're wrong. Do you know what I mean? It's just not true. Like, if he has a by mediocre car, do they mean one, I don't know, a midfield pace car?
It doesn't say, but he's obviously talking about the Ferrari where they got a mediocre car.
Yeah, maybe he's saying this because he's like a bit scared. I reckon Helmut Marko is scared.
Do you think?
Yeah. But look, the way the development curve of that Red Bull was not pretty last year. Ferrari, actually it was.
Hmm.
Now, they've got Lewis Hamilton behind the wheel next to Charles Leclerc. You know, we talk a lot about Lewis being at Ferrari. Let's not forget they've got Charles Leclerc there as well. Deadly. He's shitting himself. Well, that's it.
Do let us know. Martin Brundle claims Lewis Hamilton has lost an edge with age. He has said, do I think the best of Lewis Hamilton is ahead or behind him? I think it's behind him. I think he's lost an edge with age, as you do. Sometimes he gets into scuffles that he used to emerge out front of, but he doesn't now, or he'll make a mistake in qualifying. But I think a 96-97% Lewis Hamilton in a winning car is still good enough to win a title. And I mean, you know, he has a fair point there. I think it's like anything, isn't it? With age, you do lose a bit of an edge. We have said on the podcast many times that actually, we still think Lewis Hamilton is good enough to go on and win a title, hence why he's going to a top team in Ferrari.
Yep.
But we inevitably, you do lose a bit of an edge when you with age.
I think we say that in the same light as Martin Brundle, though, where it would be silly for us to sit here and be like, oh yeah, Lewis is the same driver that we saw in 18, 19, 20, even 21. But it's also a bit of a harsh comparison because we haven't actually seen Lewis with a car that is capable of, you know, fighting for a championship. And let's not forget, he won two races this season. Granted, the qualifying thing is just so weird to see. It's just so, like, not like Lewis.
No.
And again, the scuffle thing, I'm not being funny, like, you know, let's predate 2022. It was easy for him to get out of them because he wasn't really involved in them. His car was so much quicker. Mm. He was so much quicker than everyone else. Do you know what I mean? It was like Lewis Hamilton, if you actually go back to his McLaren days, would get in scuffles. You know, we can't pretend like he didn't.
Yeah.
So I do think we're not going to truly know where Lewis Hamilton's levels are until we see him in a car that is capable of fighting for a championship. And yeah. if that's this season in the Ferrari, you know, then we'll get to find out pretty quick, and we'll know pretty soon, you know, if he's comfortably beating Charles Leclerc, let's say even if the car isn't capable of winning a championship, but he is beating Charles Leclerc, I think it would be pretty safe to say that Lewis is still got it.
Yeah. It's a big season for Lewis, you know, all round, not just with the new team. It is, he's got a lot to prove him for himself. Obviously, a lot of people are doubting him. If he goes to Ferrari and his qualifying continues to be as poor as it was last year, then we are in trouble. He is in trouble. Yeah. If he's getting beaten week in, week out by Charles Leclerc, then again, he is in trouble. So it is a lot for him to deal with. Well, not deal with, but it's a lot of uncertainty of whether... Because say after half a season, his qualifying's still bad, he's being outperformed. There is no... it's hard to argue that actually he hasn't lost it.
Yeah, and what you've also got to remember is there's... If we say he's lost it, right, it's... This might upset a few people, but it's fine. There's losing it, right? And we'll say he's lost it because he's not the Lewis Hamilton that is capable of winning world championships, you know, relentlessly. Mm. But if he's still able to win races, you know, everyone said he's lost it. And last year he won two races. He drove some unbelievable races. If that's losing it, that's fine. Like, if he's lost it, he could still be very quick. Mm. He hasn't lost it like Daniel Ricciardo lost it. Do you know what I mean?
Sergio Perez.
Where their cliff just... Their cliff? Their form jumped off a cliff. Their cliff jumped off a form.
Or a cliff jumped off a cliff.
That could also happen. So I think it's pretty rational for us to sit here and be like, well, Lewis is probably not the Lewis that he was 5-6 years ago because, you know, he is 40 years old. But does that mean he's not capable of winning championships or races? Absolutely not.
No. Interesting. Valtteri Bottas could become a reserve driver for McLaren in addition to his duties at Mercedes. Interesting, this one.
Curious how this works. Like, can they not just be leaking secrets to... I know it wouldn't be in his job, but...
Well, potentially. So this got me thinking, because I was like, well, who's the rest of the grid's reserve drivers? We obviously know Aston Martin has got Drogovic and Van Dorn. Alpine have got Colapinto, Aaron as well. Mercedes, Bottas, but every other team haven't announced a reserve driver yet.
Oh, interesting.
Which is interesting.
So, I imagine... Oh, no, because Hadjar's in the sport.
Mm. That's the interesting thing, because, like, you know, I was looking and that was all all TBCs. So I'm assuming we'll find out over the next upcoming weeks. But there's only, three teams who have actually announced a reserve driver for this year. So it's going to be interesting. But Valtteri Bottas, surely that can't be true. Because, like you say, Valtteri, what were Mercedes doing with their...
I don't think McLaren will be out there.
Okay.
They'll be asking that so they know what not to do. But I'm sure Mercedes will be like, what's that thing? What does that thing do over there? And but the thing is surely his loyalty...
What, the accelerator?
His loyalty lies with
Mercedes. Yeah.
No? So wouldn't he just be like, by the way, boys, they do this little thing where it gives you like an extra... They'll be like, cheers. Bung him like 50. Like,
championship winner car.
But that's just... Surely what is going to happen.
Yeah. Right, I can't see that happening. Right, hypothetical question time. Do play at home. So, you're the team principal, okay? You have five options of drivers you can pick.
Mm.
I'm going to give you the five options.
How many seats do I have available?
Two.
Okay.
And I'll give you a reserve driver seat as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, your five drivers you can pick from.
Mm-hmm.
So, team principal, excited for the season. Nikita Mazepin.
Not at the moment, because I've actually got quite a lot of work to do, mate. I've got to pick two drivers to actually drive the cars, and I need a reserve driver. So I'm not excited just yet.
Okay, so, but I'm here to help. You've got five drivers you can pick from, okay? Mm. So, Nikita Mazepin.
Nope.
Nicholas Latifi.
Oh, shit.
Logan Sargeant. Nick De Vries. Paul De Resta.
Paul De Resta.
So, two
Can
drivers.
Remember how to drive.
So, right. The board have come in and they go, right, Luke, can you tell me who we are picking? There's five drivers on the table. Who are we picking for our starting lineup?
I'd be like, personally, guys, it's not great. Like, this is the selection sheet. Take gulps from all the sponsors. I'd probably have to say Nick De Vries. I think Nick De Vries is the standout on that somehow. Look, he had a really rough time in F1.
Yeah.
But he is a Formula E world champion. He's not a schmuck, right? He got treated like one. And you know, perhaps he was never good enough for F1.
Yeah.
But I would say he's better than all those drivers.
So Nick De Vries locked in.
I mean, Mazepin is just a firm no, isn't he? And Sargeant's got to be a firm no. So, I mean, realistically, it's got to be Latifi. I'm not having Paul De Resta in the team.
So, your starting lineup is Nick De Vries and Nicholas Latifi.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's not formidable.
All right. Who's your reserve driver?
Probably Logan Sargeant, just so I don't have to talk to Paul De Resta.
Okay, do let us know.
I mean, that is a horrendous lineup.
Well, it could happen. It could happen. You know, there's some teams who've had to have that option in the past.
No one's had the selection that bad.
No, but do let us know. And let us know if you agree with Luke. Right, another little quiz here.
Mm-hmm.
You like this, okay? So, similar to what we did last week, guess the driver. All right? Okay. I've got to give you some clues.
Okay.
Same joke as last week.
Yeah.
Doesn't get any better, does it? So I will give you I'll give you the year when they came into the sport, and I'll give you clues if you don't get it straight away, okay?
Is it exactly the same as last week? Same
as last.
New drivers.
Yep, new drivers.
See, it's not the same. Always come in with new ideas.
Yeah. But this is a new idea. It's a new game. Well, people loved it last week. They were asking for more.
It's the same game, but with new drivers.
Yeah, so it's the same game with new drivers, but people are asking for this.
So it's not a new game.
The comments last week were going mad for this game. Right, so first year this driver entered was 2006.
Still in the sport?
Nope. His last year, second clue, was 2016.
Right, but I didn't ask for it. Okay. You can't be dishing out clues and taking away my extra points when I haven't asked for them.
Okay, fine. Okay, sorry.
Well, Nico Rosberg.
Well done. Right, this driver, first year, 2002, not in the sport now.
Right, so does that come as a standard now? Now that's like, you tell me.
Yeah, but if you, the next clue will be when they left the sport.
Came in 2002. Jenson Button.
Nope. Next clue, 2017, he left the sport.
Felipe Massa.
Well done. Right, next one. It's not bad. That was
pretty impressive.
Yeah. This driver came in 2017 in the sport.
2017. Lando.
No. Next clue. World Championship 0.
That's not a clue, though, because if he came into the sport in 2017... Only two people have won world championships in that time.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the next clue.
Lewis Hamilton. No, you're not, because I'm going to think. He came into the sport in 2017. He's still in it. So let me think who it can't be. It's not Max because he came in 2016.
Right, this is going to take a while, so I'm going to give you 5 seconds.
No, you're not. No.
I am. It's my game.
I'm going to continue speaking. Everyone's going to go through my thought process. It's not Max. It's not Lewis. It's not Lando. It's not Oscar. It's not Charles because we did him last week. It could possibly be Carlos, but for some reason I seem to think he came in 2016, but I'm going to say Carlos Sainz.
Wrong.
Shit.
Wins. One.
He's got one win. Still in the sport.
Still in the sport. Next clue?
No.
Okay.
Now I'm just trying to think of race winners. Oh. That's too early, surely. Ocon?
No.
Gasly.
But I'm going to take away a point there because you basically took a guess and then took another guess.
No, because when I said Ocon, I actually meant to say Gasly. That, right. I coughed.
First year. So 3 out of 3 so far. Well done. 2011. Not in the sport now.
Daniel Ricciardo.
Well done. Yeah. I guess. Finally, 2013. Not on the grid now.
Oh, that's a fucking tough one. 23rd. I'm going to need... Well, no, because the next clue is fucking pointless.
Because I'll skip the World Championships. World Championships is 0, but wins 10.
10 race wins. Came in 2013.
If you got this, do comment.
I feel like people have got this.
Next clue?
Annoyingly, yeah.
Top threes, 67.
That does not help me at all. 2013. Oh my god, why can I not think? Oh! Valtteri Bottas.
Yes, well done.
For God's sake.
You can't tell me that's not a good game.
The second clue's got to go because that's a ridiculous one.
Yeah,
you need a better second clue.
Okay, fine. All right, but you like the game, yeah?
Mm.
You want me to continue this?
Yeah, you can. Maybe not every week.
Okay, fine.
I mean, we can do like every other.
All right, fine. Right.
Maybe we can alternate games.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to touch on the FIA news or you touched on that on... I'm just curious. What are the hand gestures that drivers cannot do?
Did you not see my example?
I'm just curious, again, because I was a bit confused.
I don't know. So, again, it's very... I guess kind of like all law. It's a touch ambiguous in... Because it's all interpretation. Mm. So it's what they would consider offensive or... I'm pretty sure one of the words was like abusive as well. Mm. So like sticking your finger up like that. That's surely got to come in the category. If you drive past a driver and go like that, that's got to come under it, I imagine. I don't want to talk about it because it just winds me up. It's just such a stupid rule. Like, I think it's a fucking joke. Like, it is.
Hang on, that type of language would have got you...
That would get me, if I was an F1 driver, a €40,000 fine, which is obscene. And I think it's not going to be... One, here's the thing. Here's where it's confusing, right? Because I saw Martin Brundle talking about it, and he was like, look, they're role models. Hey, okay, and I get that to some extent, but I also hate this concept that anyone that is in the public eye is immediately a role model. Or like these F1 drivers have to assume the responsibility of role models just because they're F1 drivers or just because they're this famous.
Yeah.
I just don't like it. Like, that's not why they signed up to it. You know, I'm not saying they should go out and be shitty people and encourage people to do like bad things, but I also don't think it's right for us to expect them to live their life like angels because they're role models. I've always thought that's bullshit for everything, whether that's, you know, people expect YouTubers to be role models or footballers. And it's like, that's not why they did it.
Yeah.
You know, Max Verstappen didn't spend years of his life racing in go-karts to grow up to be a role model. He grew up to be an F1 driver. In my opinion, it's not part of the package. You can choose. If you want to be a role model, for me, that's an option. okay, like Lewis. Lewis is someone that's chosen he wants to go down the role model path. Absolutely fine. I personally wouldn't do it. It's not...
He was a bit of a bad boy in the first era, wasn't he?
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
He wasn't an angel at the beginning, was he?
No, it's only recently as he's got older. Yeah. And I think that's fine. That probably comes with age. A lot of these drivers are very young. And what? So now swearing makes you a bad person anyway. Mm. Are you not a role model if you swear? Oh, fuck off, everyone swears. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, be realistic. I just think it's stupid. And, you know, I don't know where they draw the line on this because, okay, perhaps yeah, and again, I still disagree, but perhaps it is reasonable if they're outside the car and maybe they're just talking in a press conference and they swear, or maybe they say something about, okay.
Inside the car.
They come over the radio and they're like, what a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, reading what I've read, that to me sounds like it would fall under the category of,
yeah. All right,
you're getting a fine.
If you're driving down the road, okay, say you're on your way to Tesco, for example, someone pulls out in front of you, you don't go, oh, don't worry, mate, that's fine.
You do if you're a role model.
Yes, but you have a good swear, don't you?
No, you say thank you for almost killing me.
Yeah.
I really appreciate that.
Look.
You're a great guy.
Off the track, I agree, the role model bit, try and limit the swearing, try and do all of that stuff. But in the car, when it's heated, you're under so much pressure, you're driving at these speeds, it is very hard to control your emotions. So I disagree with that whole thing of in the car.
And the fact that you can have championship points deducted for it and race bans for swearing.
Lando's going to win a championship now.
Lando could win a championship on the basis that Max will just not be allowed to race. But you know what? Like, as much as we, you know, talk about Max's attitudes sometimes, it's part of his character.
It's a character. That's why you like these people. That's why, like, don't get me wrong, Max can go a bit too far at times, but whatever.
But he's a great asset to the sport, yeah. Not only because he's a good driver, but because he's a great character. And when I say great, it doesn't necessarily mean like I'm a fan of him. But we like characters in the sport, and he's different. He's fiery.
It's what makes the sport. It's what makes it. You know, you've had Kimi Raikkonen in the past, yeah. And his radio messages. You know, these are the type of people who you look at and you're like, oh, I love watching them because you don't know what they're going to act like. Yeah. You don't know what they're going to be like. And, you know, Eddie Irvine in the past, you know, he didn't care. He just got out of a car and went back on a yacht during a race. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, These are characters.
Kimmy did that as well, didn't he?
He did, yeah. But you start taking this away. You start taking away that whole, you know, they won't start talking to the media. Yeah. They'll just literally limit themselves because they don't want to be
just give yes or no answers.
Yeah.
Yep. Nope. Yep. Maybe. And do you know what the worst part about it is? There's a part in there also about them aligning with the FIA's general, like, principle of neutrality. So essentially, like, not having opinions on political issues or religious, or, you know, I just think you expect them to be role models, but then you expect them to not have opinions and not stand up for people. And you know, we've seen them try and like oppress Lewis's support for certain groups and certain causes, and this is what I say, like, you can't expect people to be role models and then not allow them to stand up for anything. You know, because this all falls under the same thing, that this like neutrality thing is part of it as well. So yeah, load of fucking shit.
Do let us know what your thoughts are on the FIA news this week. So last week I posted a TikTok about, I wonder how Toto Wolff was feeling after seeing Lewis Hamilton, you know, in red, testing and all of that stuff. And somebody posted a comment, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this because it was an interesting one. So this is from Penny, and she said, Lewis has succeeded. I'm going to start again. This is from Penny. She said, Lewis succeeded in Mercedes with Niki Lauda. not Toto. When Nicky left us, Toto destroyed the team mindset and the car. So he won't miss Lewis, but his sponsors will. Mercedes engineers will miss Lewis and his experience feedback they won't have from Woody and Rookie.
From Woody and Rookie, is that their...
What's your thoughts on that?
I think everyone's a little bit harsh on Toto Wolff, really. I think a lot of the time we love to make things up that just aren't true. I think Toto looked at... I'm not saying I would have handled the whole thing in the way that Toto did, right? But ultimately, he was looking at the future of his business that he owns. And that meant that Lewis wasn't in those plans necessarily. And that's also not true because Lewis would have also continued at Mercedes this season.
Yeah.
There's no saying that he wasn't going to be there next season, as in the season after. And I think we love to, as fans, and particularly Lewis fans, there can be a little bit cultish sometimes, kind of make up things that don't exist.
Toto is fundamental to how Mercedes have performed over these years.
Yeah, do you know
alongside,
what I mean?
Alongside Nicky, you know.
Toto's been there from the start, and to assume that Nicky Lauda is the only reason that they succeeded is bollocks, really. I mean, you know, it took all of them. Yeah. Toto, you know, during the Mercedes successes, everyone loved Toto. Lewis fans loved Toto. We all love Toto. And, I mean, even now, I've got... I think he comes out with some howlers, but so does everyone. But I do think generally, like, Toto is a very well-spoken person. He always speaks very highly of Lewis. But it's as we got told with the Colapinto Jack Doohan stuff, right? It's business. It's not friendships, right?
Did you think Michael Massey has got his email yet that Toto sent him?
Michael Massey is probably living in a hole somewhere.
Do let us know what your thoughts are on that clip, because on that comment, because it just got me thinking. But I agree. I think Toto and Nicky together help build that team with that success. But, you know, they're all fundamental in that. Right, fan questions. So just so you're aware, every week we ask you guys on Instagram.
You're our fans.
On Instagram to send in some questions. So do follow us on Instagram and get your questions in. So... this one is from Reese Davis. He said, another great podcast. I have a question for you both. What would you think if F1 brought back more testing like before? Do you think it would be good or bad?
I don't know. I don't think it would be good or bad.
Any more content, more F1 content is always good for us.
As long as we can watch it.
Yeah. I mean, if it was behind closed doors and you didn't get to see it, then maybe not. But if we got to see it and we got to witness it, I think it's good. I do like the fact, I suppose it's kind of like, you know, with the budget cap, isn't it? You have these certain restrictions that you can't do. But actually with testing, if you just had unlimited testing or you do more testing with the cars, surely it makes it more exciting because the teams get to prepare better for the season ahead.
Yeah. I mean, I'd imagine this, right? Let's say we got to a point and we just never changed the regulations. Let's say it was just 2014, right? From then on, we never changed the regulations one bit. Mm. How fast do you reckon those cars would be now?
Ridiculous.
Like they could be insanely quick. Like, and I'm talking not one single regulation change, right? Mm. It was just 2014. That was it. Unlimited budgets. And what essentially you've had 10 years worth of data on the same car, I bet they would be so quick.
So testing, yes or no?
Kind of impartial.
Okay.
Bring back more testing if we can watch it.
Okay. Adam Shard has said, if Stroll had the McLaren from last season, do you think he would have won a race?
Interesting. No.
I would agree with you on that. I think he would have probably got to the point where they were like, look, Lance, you've got a great chance to win a race here. And he's like, whoa, whoa, you know.
I'm going out there today? Right, it's raining.
This is too... No, that's too much work you're expecting from me here. Yeah. Where's the nearest gravel track?
I think.
And I will go. I'll park it.
Whoever his teammate is, whether it's Lando or Oscar in this scenario, would have beaten him to the race. So...
And
if they didn't, Max Verstappen would have.
Yeah. No, I can't see Lance Stroll. You would expect him to win because anyone in that with that McLaren, you would expect them to go on and win the race.
Well, he said his heart's not in it.
No.
His heart's not in it.
So, no, I don't think Lance Stroll would have won in that McLaren last year, but do let us know. So, Anna Kira said, do you think Lando could bag the championship this year?
Well, yeah, thanks to this new rule that the FIA brought in, Max could have quite a lot of points deducted, and I think Lando will be well in. I mean, that's his only chance.
Yeah. Lando has a very good chance this year. If the McLarens keep going on the progression that they had in 2024, yes, he has a good chance of winning the championship. The biggest challenge for Lando Norris is Lando Norris.
Yeah.
So, you know...
He's the only obstacle in...
Yeah.
And that was the case this season.
Yeah.
But I have said Lando is going to be much better placed to win a championship this year mentally.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Lando Norris that prevented Lando Norris from winning last year may be a little bit weaker and he may be a little bit stronger and able to defeat him.
Wow, that was deep.
Yeah.
Right.
Suck on that, Lando.
Oyson Reynolds, if I've said that wrong, if I butchered that, I do apologise. So, best Grand Prix weekends to go to as a fan. So,
would have been Silverstone.
Yeah. Obviously, last year I went to Spa, and I have to say, I loved it. The thing is with Spa, though, it depends what you've got from the weather. If the weather is awful, it's just... the whole weekend's basically done. Obviously, last year, Saturday was just pure rain, and that's basically what it was. The actual event, the actual venue, the track is amazing. If you can go to Spa, I would go. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I thought it was brilliant. Silverstone, you've been to Silverstone. I've been to Silverstone. It's good. I like it.
It's class.
Yeah.
The atmosphere, like, all around is sick.
Yeah.
I think... Surely Vegas has got to be up there. I'm sorry. Vegas. Like, just... Obviously, I've not been, but, like, just going to Vegas and, like, being in that... It must be buzzing, surely.
I suppose it's a question for you guys also who are watching, if you've gone to other races, because obviously I've been to Spa, I've been to Silverstone, but I haven't been to any others.
Would love to go to Monza.
I'd love to go to Brazil.
Brazil? Oh, Brazil would be class. Sick, yeah.
So, yeah, I'd love to go to Brazil. But I think if you had to pick... And I've seen my bucket list, if from just F1 tracks alone, I would probably say, taken away from Spa and Silverstone, Brazil.
Yeah.
I would really like to go to Qatar. I don't know why. I just love that track. I really do. I know it's probably not the greatest atmosphere or whatever, but I just like the track and I think it'd be class. I'd love to do Monaco just for Monaco.
Cop a little yacht.
Yeah. But I agree with you.
I bet the atmosphere at Monaco is sick.
Yeah, but I agree with you. Somewhere like Vegas would be decent.
To be fair, the vibes at COTA always look on point.
Yeah,
down in Texas.
So okay, let's redo that. So the three that I would really like to go to, if I had the choice this year, would be Brazil, Monza. Torn between Qatar and Vegas.
I'd say Brazil, Monza. And actually, COTA, I think I would do.
Would you?
Yeah.
It's interesting, isn't it? And I think this is a great thing. And I know there'd be people who go, oh, why don't you go this one? Why are you saying that? It's people's preference, isn't it? It's people's opinion where they would like to go. And that's why we all go different things. But obviously, I've been to Belgium. I've been to Silverstone, but yeah, I would love to go to somewhere like Vegas, Brazil, Monza, and yeah, even Monaco, just for the experience.
Monaco would be class.
Yeah.
I know we slag it off, but like, if you're there, I bet it's one of the best weekends ever.
Yeah,
watching it. Class. Granted, it might be a bit boring, but...
But yeah, do let us know. That is the end of the podcast. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. If you have, do, if you're watching on YouTube, hit subscribe button, drop us a like, also drop us a comment. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, whatever, do leave us a comment, leave us a 5-star rating. We really do appreciate it. We'll be back next week with more news. But yeah, have a good week. Lewis is in red. Life is good. And yeah, we shall see you next week. Bye-bye.